Clinton Pryor is a Noongar Yamatji East Kimberley and Pilbara man who has been following songlines and visiting communities throughout Western and South Australia in a long walk for justice for First Nations peoples. He finally made it onto Kaurna country this week after setting off from Harrison Island in Perth last year. He will continue his journey from Adelaide to Canberra, where he hopes to seek an audience with the Prime Minister and address the injustices against First Nations peoples. Yesterday, Clinton supporters came together to celebrate his arrival and walk alongside him from Jepps Cross through to Tandanyanga. I caught up with them for a chat.
My name's Amanda, and I'm here to support Clinton because I think he has an amazing message to spread. And he's come so far to spread it and showed such dedication and leadership and community unity to walk through so many different communities bringing their messages. And I just think he's an inspiration, so that's why I've come today.
Yeah, when did you first get wind of what he was doing?
I think I've been following him for about 2 months, so I didn't see the initial posts on Facebook about the journey across Western Australia. I think I first started noticing around when he got to the AP Wirelands, and then that massive walk down through the middle part of South Australia, which must have just been such a long journey for him.
And I think it must have put it into perspective knowing, following him from the AP Wirelands, it's such a long journey, but then the journey from there to Perth is such a long journey as well.
Oh, it showed enormous courage and dedication to the cause, and I think we need more people who are willing to just get out there and do things. A lot of people post on Facebook about human rights and Aboriginal rights, but it's amazing to have someone who's willing to put in that kind of effort and dedication to bring justice for his people. I think it's a really amazing thing.
What do you think everyone can learn from Clinton and what he's doing?
I think for me personally, it would be just, as I said before, just getting out and doing things, getting out onto the street, building community, talking with other people instead of just posting about Aboriginal rights on Facebook. I think the best way to show solidarity and build relationships is face-to-face. So I tend to sit back and read a lot of articles and sometimes forget that I've got to have conversations with people. So that's probably the biggest thing that I need to take inspiration from him from.
So you've got your walking shoes on today. Are you planning on walking all the way to Tandanyanga?
Yes, I am. I haven't walked in a while, so hopefully I make it. I might have to catch the bus. No, you should be okay.
Well, my name is Nutty Raymond. We actually left with Clinton on the 8th of September. The person that he was supposed to come out in pulled out. So then he contacted Gary and I was on the island when he said, "Oh, do you want to go to Canberra?" And I said, "Yeah, no worries," because I was going to go for about 2 days and then ride back, you know. And then he says, "Oh, you know, do you want to come?" And I thought, it took me about a second to say, "Yeah, no worries."
So I'm guessing you know Clinton. You've known him for a while.
Yeah, well, I got involved with the First Nations people in 2012, and Clinton came down on the island in about 2015, and got the name down there. And he always had that drive in him, so you could see that Barnett, you're wasting your time trying to get any sort of thing out of him. So he decided that he'd go for a walk to Canberra with grievances, and I wish I could have gone, but I couldn't go at that time, and when I was asked, no problem.
Has he always struck you as a very, I suppose, passionate and driven young man?
Yeah, he came down. Well, you only go down on the island if you're First Nation person, if you want to be involved. And he came down, he was itching to get into it, I suppose is the best way you can do it, and wanted to do his part because his family and his grandmother was affected by family or the community closures in the north of Western Australia. When he came down on the island, we found out that he was actually related to the Brofos anyway. So once again, it was a family thing, and it just sort of went on from there.
It's a long way to travel from Perth. From day one, when you set out leaving the city, to being out in the bush and heading up into the AP Wirelands and coming into South Australia, what have the changes been like? And what's the journey been like?
Oh, the I was asked by one of the admin team, you know, what part of the journey, you know, was, you know, our highlights. And I said, well, the highlight was when Clinton asked. And it's just been a buzz all the way through. You know, I was hoping to come through on the centre, you know, probably a four-wheel drive, but walking with Clinton, and I got the bike and the buggy, so I was able to carry water and a few other bits and pieces. And to see the country, instead of going past at 80, 100 k's, I looked at everything. That's why I end up taking a lot of photos, because I thought, well, I've never been up here, and I thought, well, I'll share the journey.
How has it changed your, I suppose, appreciation of our country, this place that we live in?
Oh, no, I love the country anyway, and this gave me the opportunity to go places where I wouldn't have gone if I was in a vehicle. And with a cultural journey with Clinton, you know, everywhere we went, they were just, you know, welcome. And, you know, so it was, I would just say, this will be once-of-a-lifetime journey, and I doubt whether it'll be repeated like this ever again.
Yeah. Has it been quite spiritual as well?
Oh, yeah, well, let's just say my mum had spiritual beliefs, and I know they're there, all right? And so I just leave it at that, you know, because they're each to their own. And but it's been a really good journey. I've the best one of my life, and looking forward to the end.
Yeah, what is it like to be in Adelaide?
Oh, well, I've been in Adelaide before, about 21 years ago, and but I like the town, or city, I should say. But once again, I've come in by car, you know, so walking and riding, I get to see everything at a slower pace. You know, I've enjoyed the country at the slow pace. And when walking, even through the land up there, you know, you get an understanding of how the people travel through there, you know, because we've been invited to go on walks with them, you know, on their old song lines, you know, so the culture lives out there, you know, it's still there. We've been in we've been in the ancient lands, and we've actually still travelling along song lines through here, so it's all there still.
It's quite a milestone to reach Adelaide after, you know, being out in the desert for so long. What's the next step from here? Literally, what's the next step? Are you going to stay in Adelaide for a bit and then head off?
Roughly a week, and because he's got a few things that he's got to sort out here, a few people to meet. And then we're not quite sure which way we're heading off. We'll probably go up through the Murray Bridge way, but we'll find out what sort of communities along the way. So it's, once again, you know, we had plans when we start, but when we got up into the up into the West Australia, it says, oh, you've got to speak to the kids, you know, and, you know, all the schools are following you, you know, so that sort of threw out any plans we had out the window, you know, so it's when we get there, and what happens along the way happens, you know, so it's just, we've gone from A, B is up in Canberra, but the journey along the way has been incredible, and it hasn't stopped.
Do you think it'll be a bit bittersweet when you do finally reach the end, even though that's kind of the little beacon that you're chasing?
Well, it could only be the start, you know, because the country needs change anyway, and who knows what's going to happen when we get there. You know, our plans have changed for what we started off with, you know, and Clinton's got a fair bit of knowledge in his head now. He's had a bit sorted out coming through the desert, so it's all worked. And where every day you learn, and it's just that it's been an incredible learning journey for Clinton and myself, and Gary as well. So it's been a pleasure. I've had a blast.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've literally loved it, and not a problem. I have no regrets whatsoever.
We are Tamil people. We are also as traditional, as old, and as ancient as this local people here. So we could appreciate him. And we are traditional parai players. This instrument it speaks volumes of freedom and liberation. So whenever you play this, it gives you the freedom and liberation kind of feel. So that's why we wanted to dedicate this musical instrument and the playing notes to his journey, which we really admire.
Yeah, what is it about playing the instrument that gives you that feeling of freedom?
I don't know, because it's a kind of traditional. it belongs to an ancient people. And then modern times, this instrument is not as popular as it is because it's considered, you know, bygone era's instrument. That's why we want to bring it up and show the world this speaks for freedom and liberation.
Are you looking forward to playing it for Clinton today?
Yep. We are very happy to play with him and then want to show him and dedicate this musical instrument to him.
So we are Tamil people, so almost we live in South Australia more than 10, 12 years. So we closely follow the Clinton's work. So we believe the intention of his work is very meaningful. So that's why we are here, to support the landowners. So we are migrants. As migrants, we have to support the landowners. So that's why I'm here.
So when did you guys first hear about Clinton and what he was doing?
From day one, I'm following. I follow through the Facebook last year, September 2016.
And what's it been like following his journey?
To be honest, the one day I sent text to him, I was worried about him. You know, how can it is possible? It's such a long walk. You know, so how much feeling they got inside. So he motivated to take this decision. So I couldn't believe. He came from 3,000 kilometers, more than 3,000 kilometers. I always saw his knees and what kind of strength he got it. So all the strength come from his heart. It's not toes or knees. It's all. I really admire him.
What about you guys? What has been most striking about Clinton and what he does?
Especially the initiative that he's taken. It's totally inspiring. Youngsters definitely will look back and see him as an example. The initiative that he has taken is nothing but saving the land, saving the, you know, the culture. It all puts together, mix of emotion. And it's set as a different milestone. This is not just done now. It's gonna just the beginning. It's gonna create a lot of others to do the same thing, which is what I feel like. And this is the reason why I'm here, so inspired, admired. Yeah.
I suppose it must feel really special to be able to act on your appreciation of this guy.
Exactly, definitely, because we are part of Australia Tamil Arts. We basically play an ancient instrument. The instrument is all about creating awareness. It belongs to people, it belongs to culture. So if you want to tribute this instrument to his journey, just to show love and respect from our behalf, from our whole community. So,
and that's what you'll be doing when he's walking today, playing.
Absolutely. Be with him, just hold hands with him, just encourage him, motivate him, and spread the news along. He's not alone. We are with him. We are with you, Clinton.
The Tamil drummers sending Clinton Pryor off on his walk yesterday alongside Noonie Raymond, Amanda and many of his other supporters who have been following his campaign. I had the privilege of joining Clinton for some of the walk from Jepps Cross to Tandanyanga and he shared with me his story.
My name is Clinton Pryor. I'm from Perth. I'm a Noongar Yamdi boy and East Kimberley boy and a Pilbara boy. We're here right now in Adelaide Square walking to get to the city part where we'll be marching onto the streets with the police escort. So we're going to come and join us. Where the police from the city is going to shut down the road for us to escort us in then to Victoria Square.
It must be such a contrast from the walk through the desert to be here in Adelaide in a big city again.
Well, it's usual. We thought the country towns were okay and all right, but we realised getting back to the city, you got a bit nervous because I've never been in the city for a while. But now that we're in the city, that nervousness went away, and so I'm feeling great. I'm ready for this march today when we march onto the streets.
It must be so encouraging to have so many people here, not just, you know, to welcome you when we all met at Jepps Cross just before, but marching behind you as well. And, you know, we have Tamil drummers here, which is pretty cool.
Okay. Well, it's really great and amazing to see all these people walking behind me to join me on this march. But once we get to the city area, then people can join us. I think there's two parts. You got this part to walk from here to there, then there's the second part from there onwards, where a lot of people will join us. Everyone's okay to walk across. And once we get to the city area, then we're going to get out on the streets and then march then.
So can you take me back to before this all started? Where were you at and what drove you inside to do something like this?
Well, back in Perth, one day I was coming back from work and I was watching Channel 9 News, sitting there having lunch, and then Barnett released a statement saying that he was going to close communities, 180 of them, Indigenous communities back home in Western Australia. And so I just decided, well, I can't let this happen. I've got to go see for myself why everyone's protesting on Harrison Island for communities. So I went there to have a look, find out for myself, and I realised how the system is failing our people and the injustice towards us, not just ourselves, but towards everyone else, made me realise that to step to do something and stand up for something. So I was therefore in Harrison Island for 16 months, protesting for the forced closure of communities for 16 months.
Yeah.
And then after that, September the 8th, is when I left Perth to do the big walk for justice across Australia. So that's what drove me on to do this big walk, is because of the closure of the communities and the homeless. But then we realised there's so much injustice is going on in this world, that in this country as well, that the symbol of justice came, a symbol of hope for everyone to get justice for the injustice they have been getting all their life.
What were your experiences of being homeless? How long did that go on for?
2 years. I lost, my father died, I lost my job, I got kicked out of home, I never got kicked out of home, I left home, and I was living on the streets then. I hit rock bottom, because my mother died when I was 11 years old, but then dad died, it shattered me. So I went to go lose myself for 2 years to find myself, and when I was at rock bottom, at the bottom of the ladder, I started realising I need to fight my way back up the ladder for make a living in this world. So that's when I started fighting and going up the ladder, and from a homeless man to a man in a business suit man to a civil rights protester for the forced closure of communities and for the homeless, and then from that to walk for justice, human rights person.
It must be such an incredible thing to be able to empower yourself, not have someone else doing it for you.
Yes. It made me look at myself how strong of a person you can be when you only just need to believe. I didn't even realise that I could do a walk across the country. And then all of a sudden, believed in. And then it went to something big, from just a guy walking across the country to something huge.
So day one of the walk,
Well,
what were you thinking? Were you thinking, geez, what am I getting myself into? Or are you pretty excited for it?
Well, that part hit me when I said to myself, why am I doing this? Why did I get myself into it when I was out in the Western Desert for 16 days? Felt like I was dehydrated and I felt like I was going to die. And that's when I realised you got to get up and push through, because the communities are not far out there to get fresh water in it. So I got up and pushed through it, and then once we got up and got over the hill, the community people seen us, they came running out with water and food, and I felt relief that I finally made that past the hardest bit of the journey, the 16-day walk.
Yeah, it just kind of quenched your thirst a little bit, even seeing the people did that.
Yeah. Especially doing it through summer. No one doesn't walk for that Western Desert through summer. It's too dangerous. Only people do it when it's winter, spring or autumn, not through summer. It's too dangerous, too hot. Not much water out there, lack of water.
What have been some of the highlights for you?
Well, the highlight thing is what there's some areas are doing good and some areas are not doing so good. And the issues that is going on right now is bigger than what it seems. The people do know what's going on, but it's up to the people to get up and stand up for it. So what has happened is that there's so much failing of the system right now from the government itself towards the Australian people, that the it's affecting all of us in a way. It's making life hard for all of us. And everyone's stressing out. Life should be more easier and peaceful and relaxing. Life should be more easy for all the people of Australia, not make them struggle and hard for them.
So when you came into these communities, I think when people are inspired by someone, one of the things they like to do is share their personal experience.
Yeah.
What were some of the stories that you heard from people in different towns?
A lot of hard stuff. It's very hard and intense stuff. Like, when we realised what was going on back in the olden days, the stolen generation, where elders used to, because the church back then used to say our culture was the devil's work and should be leaving God. And then used to tie up the elders on a bed and whip them at the back to try break them and break the culture out of them. But our elders back then that was in the stolen generation was too strong. They couldn't break them because even God himself wouldn't do that to people. Tie people to a bed and whip them. There's no need for that. And also here in injustice where you have deaths in custody, removal of children, people getting raped and... I just heard the other day a young girl got raped and the police never arrested the guy. And on top of that, we hear about the massacres that only took place when our elders were just young. Young in a way where they then used to watch their dad or mother being shot off a cliff. And this is... you got the society these days telling people to get over it. But how can you get over it when you have that image in your head of seeing your parents being killed? It is a hard thing to move on. And this is the what is really going on. There's so much bad has happened and so much injustice is happening. And there's so much... Everywhere is failing. People are struggling these days and... Something's got to be done to lift the people's spirit up again.
Did you find it a little bit challenging to leave these country towns when you would hear, you know, personal stories? It was like you kind of opened yourself up to these people and they had done the same to you, and then suddenly you've got to keep walking for your own journey?
Yes. What has happened is that... what has happened is that... When I went to these communities, it made me realise, open up my eyes, and the welcome you get from the community people, it's a different world out there. But now you come back into a city life like this here, it's too much toxic, too much civilised, too much poison in the city, and too much depression and anger and headaches in the city. There's got to be something in a way to make it more easier for everyone, and there is. It's just, I wish I was back out to the communities and back in the city, but I have to finish off the journey.
You've come from WA, you're here in SA at the moment. What do you think the SA government should hear from you? What message would you like to get across to them?
One thing I can say to the South Australian government, stop failing the people. That's the only thing I can say. Stop failing the people.
In terms of your own, being out in the desert and walking for so long, you've got your crew with you, but for some people it would be enough to drive them a little bit crazy, all that inward thinking. What has it been like for you?
There were some parts where we cracked, get angry, arguing, because of 7 months of being around each other, it gave us that feeling. But down the track, we managed to get more mature, more stronger in that way.
Hello.
More mature. And more getting used to each other. So therefore, it is more, we're in a way now that we're comfortable standing up. We used to all be friends. but now we cast each other as family.
Aside from the while you're walking, what has it been like to trek across such beautiful country through the desert?
It made me realise that going through the desert, it gave me the understanding and realising what it was like back then in the old days, when before technology came, with vehicles, planes, helicopters, bikes, just walking in them old days. How was it like for the people back in them days? It was a very good experience, and it made me see through their eyes what was the world, what was like in the past.
And make you feel connected as well.
Yes, yes.
What's one thing that you've learnt about yourself, or what are some things that you've learnt about yourself? Do you think you've changed over this journey?
One thing I learned for myself, how wise I have become and the knowledge I have collected. It made me become a stronger leader to keep going, and it can be done. It's basically barking through this city, through Adelaide. This is just a test run, but Melbourne and Sydney, that's where everything's going to explode.
Do you reckon the next leg of the journey will be hard now that you've travelled a long way, Perth to Adelaide? Do you reckon it'll be easier or harder?
It'll get more easier for us with our travelling and that, and with food and fuel, but it'll be more harder in a way of talking to a lot of people, organising stuff, working with a lot of people. Getting headaches, headaches in a way, like media interviews, organising stuff with communities down that way and with council groups and everything else. It's just, it would be more intense in a way that, but everything else would be easier for us.
For anyone listening, whether they're Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, non-Indigenous, and they're inspired by this, but they don't know what to do. They don't know how to get active. What would you say to them?
Get up and stand up. Stand up for what you believe in. Stop talking about it over social media and complaining. Start doing it and get up and start believing it. Then you realise how easy it is that meets the eye and what you think in your mind. So just stand up and believe. That's the only thing I can say.
Clinton Pryor, a Noongar Yamatji, East Kimberley and Pilbara man who has been following songlines and visiting communities in a walk for justice from Perth to Canberra. Clinton and the team will be in Adelaide for the next week or so if you see them around town, be sure to extend a very warm welcome and say hello. If you'd like more information on the walk or would like to show your support for Clinton and the team with a donation, head to clintonswalkforjustice.org.